What's up, After Buzzers? Welcome back. We're here for Barry Season 2, Episode 3. We're talking past equals present times future divided by your yesterday. All right, we're talking NoHo Hank. We're talking Barry taking some real shots tonight. Come back for all that and more. Come back soon.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, party people? Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I am your host, Erica Edwards, and I couldn't do it without my wonderful, wonderful co-host. So, ladies and gentlemen, introduce yourselves.
My name is Alexa Capiello, and oh my gosh, this episode, right?
So good.
And this is?
My name is Ricky Vitucci, and oh my gosh, this episode.
OMG, indeed. So what were your overall thoughts in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, wow, that's a lot to be in a nutshell. But oh gosh, this episode was, in my opinion, even better than the last episode. So much happened. And what's interesting is the title of the episode, Past Equals Present Times Future Over Yesterday. I honestly want to talk about what you guys think that means a little later on, but I just thought it was a great episode, and it was all about them leading these double lives and also wanting so badly to rewrite their own histories. I just thought that was so well done. What do you think?
Show is absolutely amazing. Yep. This episode specifically, for me, the best episode thus far this
really?
Season.
Oh, this
yeah.
season.
Okay. No. I'm not going to get too ahead of myself here. I don't know. You see so many things happen with all the characters.
Right.
You see NoHo do his thing. You see Barry with his struggles. Then you see, there's just so much going on mentally, internally, and externally that they're giving us what we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I love about this show is that the writing is so precise. Mm-hmm. Maybe I say that every week, I think. But in 30 minutes, you get everything. You get jokes, you get some serious moments, you get all of that, and you're like, wow, this is only 30 minutes? Why is this not like an hour and a half, like mm-hmm. Game of Thrones or something? But it's very precise, it's very funny, and it shows you a lot of different, it has a lot of different storylines kind of moving along at a quick pace.
For sure.
Which I totally love.
Yeah.
So we open up with NoHo Hank and our boy Cristobal, who was here with us last week. And if you did not see it, go back because it's still on YouTube, people. We had him here. And we open up with, before that, we see like NoHo Hank and his like dream sequence. And I love the kind of behind the scenes thing that he has going on where he's like into these motivational speakers.
Well,
and
Cristobal
books.
Gave him that book.
I know, but even before this, he's always trying to better himself, you know? And I just know I'm going to see him in a hot yoga class. I totally feel that. So Cristobal calls him in, and it's so funny because he's so there, ready to, like, support him in Esther's demise and death. And there she is standing. So we're pulling up a picture of Esther.
She looks pissed.
As we speak.
She's so pissed.
Oh, my gosh. I love her.
Which she has a Slurpee in her hand. Why is she pissed?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that making
because
everyone instantly happy?
You can be pissed with a Slurpee in your hand. You can be. It's
a Slurpee
possible.
Is supposed to make you happier. She does not look happy.
She is so cool of an actress because I don't think she hasn't said a word, but she's so, every scene she's in, she's so expressive.
Oh,
so
yeah.
She's looking at the whole time like, NoHo, I know you did this.
Exactly.
Which was
words.
So hilarious to me.
Yep, she absolutely knows it's NoHo Hank, who, by the way, I was always like wondering, okay, are they really referencing North Hollywood, like North Hollywood
they
Hank?
Absolutely is.
And they were
absolutely
when they
are.
Had his name underneath when the very first dream sequence. I was like, oh, it's North Hollywood
it's
Hank.
North Hollywood Hank.
And did they ever? I'm just wondering, did they ever actually explain that, like why he's called North Hollywood Hank, other than the fact that he perhaps lives in North Hollywood?
Not yet.
I'm trying to recall. I don't think they did in season one.
So.
I know they were clearly, they clearly seemed to be in North Hollywood.
For
yeah.
Sure.
The Chuchuns were there in North Hollywood initially. I don't think he really went into how he actually got that name so
okay.
far.
Just curious. But yes, obviously she looks very, very angry. And that whole sequence, I mean, it was pretty funny how he was just, oh, how, wow, you're alive. You're still alive. Oh, how terrible. I mean, how wonderful.
Right.
Like, Right, right. He's so good at comedy. That, oh God, that actor is incredible.
He's
Anthony
so good.
Anthony Carrigan is.
Yeah, he kills it every time. Yes. He's one of the. He's a very strong actor. I think
he's a fan favorite.
Yeah,
definitely,
definitely, because he's so quirky, but he does it in a way where it's not too much of like a cornball.
Right.
For sure. He really keeps it kind of cool and smooth. And what's interesting though about this is that it's so funny because I always feel like when people are paranoid, but it's like, but it is people chasing them. So, you know, Noho Hank is so worried about Esther displacing him, but indeed she does displace him. Like, Cristobal's like, well, she's going to need a place to stay, so she's staying in your room and puts him in the storage unit.
That's
it's
amazing.
Like, what?
His whole gang in this small, like, shipping crate.
We could go get IKEA rugs and set them up, you
right.
know?
Right. I mean, it was so crazy to me.
We got to kill Barry.
And I know he was like, what? Exactly. You know, he's like, Barry did not do his job. Now they're like in the storage. So that part I thought was kind of interesting because it's like, well, maybe there's some basis for Noho Hank to sort of feel unsettled by Esther because, like, look, she moves in and now he's like,
he got kicked to the curb.
This man crush that he has on Cristobal, too. Like, is it more than that? Or is it just like a, I just think you're the coolest. I just want to be around you. I just want to know if there's like a little bit of romantic, like, interest there as well.
Do
I don't know.
Do you think they fancy each other?
No. Cristobal, I don't think, has any sort of feelings towards Noho Hank. But just he gets these, like, man crushes on.
He's very obsessed.
Yeah,
definitely.
I feel like Noho Hank does get sort of these bromance situations going on. But what's interesting, I think, with the way that he's been written so far is there's no sense of sexuality with him one way or the other,
yeah,
whether it's with
true.
Barry or with, you know, Cristobal or whatever. And that was sort of true also in season one. It's like usually you, because I think in season one, some of the other Chechens, had families and they had like women coming around, but Noho Hank was sort of like just trying to be cool and sort of, there's something sort of immature sexually about him, or we haven't seen it, hasn't been revealed yet. So I don't know if he's straight or not, really.
Yeah, he's almost like this, like half child, half murderer. Do you know what I mean? Like he just gets such glee out of the job that he has, and then also he's this big time killer. So it's just this dichotomy of who he is as a person.
But he's so Noho is that kid when you were young that always wants to be friends with all the cool people,
yeah. Right?
And that is always on the sidelines and is always just like cheering everyone on.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Now that he has power, he is so stuck in that habit of always being a fan of everyone, of power, that he doesn't know how to come out of it.
Yeah, although I will say this, I do feel like this season, since he's officially in charge, he is trying his best to make those moves. So, like, when Barry called him a freaking idiot, he was like, no, he had to come back and check him.
For sure.
And then even in the way this episode is going, when he realized Barry's messed up, his first decision is to, okay, we're going to kill Barry, which just seems crazy because we know you love Barry. Like, yeah. why would you do that? Were you all surprised at all by that choice?
I think it shows his immaturity in his role, in his new role as, like, the head.
Right.
I just think he's very quick to jump to some conclusions before thinking it out. He can't kill Barry. He loves, right. Number one, he loves Barry
exactly.
way
he does.
Too much.
He does.
And
bromance.
I would like to see anyone try to kill Barry.
Exactly.
Barry is like...
There have been quite a few at this
king.
Point.
He's the king out of every one of the head killers. Barry is the king without even them knowing it.
Yeah. Exactly, exactly. So then what's interesting is we cut to Barry and Sally. You know, at the end of the last episode, everyone in the class has this responsibility to come up with this scene that they write themselves. They're doing their own material based on their own lives. And so in this scene, we see Sally and Barry both struggle with how they're going to write their scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. What
Forming
did you guys
their
about
own
that?
Narratives. Basically, what I said in the beginning is, I mean, they talked about it in the after show of their own episode. But they, you know, Bill Hader was just speaking about how, basically, you know, we all want to rewrite our own histories in some way, shape, or form. And there's a strong sense of denial in all, all humans, really. And it was just tapping into that. And I just thought it was awesome watching Sally struggle with what actually happened versus what she wants to have happened. And then Barry, the same way. We were talking about how he's sitting at his computer typing out the moment I killed somebody. I really loved it. It was fun. And then he's like, oh, I gotta erase that because A, it will incriminate me, and B, I don't want to come to terms with how much I truly do love killing, you know?
Yeah, and then if he says too much about his past, I think it'll give up Barry as to him killing all these people, mm-hmm. especially the detective that he killed.
True to a point. I mean, at this point right now, all of the scenes that he's been showing us have really been from when he's in the Army.
For sure.
So until we speak with Fuchs later, it doesn't appear as of, you know, this particular scene that he's necessarily done anything illegal. But yeah, I get you. It's a slippery slope. Once you start talking about what you've done and your enjoyment of it, then, you know, then when the police come around and start asking more questions, they're going to look at you harder. Absolutely.
I feel like he's being very, very careful as to how much he says about his past, because it's going to start to raise flags. And they're going to be, well, if he was this way, he used to be in the Marines. He's definitely now a suspect.
Right, exactly. And what's interesting is that he still is fighting the moment that he wants to write about. So even in these scenes, he starts to want to write about the time he saved someone's life as opposed to the time when he took a life. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing, and I'm really liking more of the flashbacks because I think they give us a deeper grasp of who Barry is as a character and how he's turned into the way he's, you know, how he's become who he is today.
Right.
For sure.
But before we continue on, I just wanted to say thank you guys for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we also do need your help. So make sure that you subscribe on YouTube, give us a rating on iTunes, and leave a comment. And being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant a lot to me because it gives us this platform to talk about the things that we love. And so thank you guys all for supporting us. Really, we
thank you.
Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you guys. Like, subscribe, and comment. And comment, certainly also comment after the live chat, because the live chat comments don't stay there, and we want to read and respond. And we definitely will send you shout outs next week if you let us know you subscribed or you leave a comment.
Yes, leave comments. We read them.
Yes, we do.
And we reply.
And we reply.
The most important, we reply to everything you say.
We certainly do. We certainly do. So in the midst of Barry working on his material, we start hearing these noises like mosquitoes or something. Like, it's so hilarious.
Oh, the sound design.
Yes, it's like poop,
shout
poop,
out.
Pop, pop.
To
I was like, what is that? Is someone opening sodas? What's going on? And so then Barry realizes that NoHo Hank is trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so of course, as we mentioned last week, Barry has his guns and his ammo right there under his mattress, as any good killer would do. And so he goes for his gun. And so this scene is so crazy because, again, NoHo Hank and the Chechens are like the most incompetent gangsters ever known, fun and cool. So while they're still trying to shoot Barry comes up behind them and actually shoots the shooter. And so that's what we have a clip of right here.
Let's also talk about the fact that this is all going on while Sally is downstairs FaceTiming her friend.
In the next room.
I thought she was downstairs. Oh,
no,
yeah, you're
she
right.
She has a one-floor apartment.
No, wait. Isn't there upstairs? I thought there was an upstairs and downstairs. But we'll find that out.
I could have sworn it was a one-floor apartment.
Remember, he has those two roommates. Those two guys that he's with, the
yeah.
Two guys from the acting class.
But I thought it was an apartment.
I think it is an apartment, but I thought it was like a townhouse. But maybe it's one floor.
Either way, all of this is happening while Sally's downstairs FaceTiming. And he goes downstairs, runs out the door, and goes on the roof. And obviously, basically tells NoHo Hank what's up.
No, how much of a G is Barry?
He's so cute.
He took a pistol with a silencer out of all the guns that he had. And he shot homeboy from his bedroom with a little pistol with a silencer, which once you put, I don't know if you know much about guns, but once you put the silencer on, the accuracy goes down a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
So he shot him from a distance with a pistol, with a silencer on, then goes down and hit him.
Yeah,
hit the shooter that has this huge rifle with this long barrel.
In the same spot that apparently he hit NoHo Hank before. And NoHo Hank's like, wow, Barry is such a... He's so good at his job. Like,
but yet you're trying to kill him.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yes. That scene was so hilarious. And what I really loved about that scene, too, is Barry is like... What are you doing? My girlfriend's down there. Like, he didn't even begin to believe he was going to get shot or get hurt. Because he's like, these bumbling idiots won't shoot me. But they could reveal my true life to Sally. Yeah. So that seemed to be, like, his biggest worry. Oof. So this scene was, like, so hilarious to me. But here's the point where Barry is like, okay... Why don't I train your men? And that way you'll have all these hired. I'll make you an army, and then I'll finally be able to get out.
And the fact that it was apparently mostly improvised. When NoHo Hank says, you suck balls at Barry. And the other guy, the guy that was doing the shooting, goes, if he suck balls, you are king of Suck Balls Mountain. That was completely improvised and probably one of my favorite lines of whole episode. They were talking about that. And I just loved it.
Yeah. That was really funny because I think Bill Hader did mention it after the show that they had it written a different way and it just wasn't working and that it was so funny. They kept ruining the take and they had to take it so many times. And finally, they improvised and kept it. So that scene was hilarious.
I'm just going to tell people that they are king of Suck Balls Mountain when I don't
You're
like
king
them.
Of Suck Balls Mountain.
You're king of Suck Balls Mountain.
How do you get mad at someone? Imagine this. Imagine you just driving and you accidentally cut someone off and they pull up beside you and they go, you suck balls of
you are king of sucking
balls of mountain or whatever the hell it is. How do you get mad at them? You just have to hysterical laugh at that.
Exactly. I know. exactly. Very
so many
funny.
Good lines in this episode.
So many good lines. So, you know, when we're looking at the acting class and they're presenting their histories. And so I think so much of the title of this episode deals with how you feel about your past and how you remember it or how you choose to remember it. Mm-hmm. So Barry is truly struggling with that, as is Sally, because Sally wants to remember herself as strong. Her friend was like, well, I don't remember it like that, but if you say so, girl. And so it was really interesting because even after her friend sort of was like, no, it didn't happen that way, she still stuck to her own truth as she wanted it to be. So then we see Gene again reaching out to his son, Leo.
Come on, Fox.
that was painful.
It was so painful.
Yeah, it's so, that whole dynamic. Gene is really, now that he's lost Janice, he's really, really trying to reach out to his son. And he suggests to his son that they can go in as co-owners, sort of the cottage where Janice got shot.
But in reality, he'll just be groundskeeper, assistant to the, what did he say?
Assistant to the owner, which was like, okay, so you just want me to come and clean the cottage where your fiance got murdered.
I just love how his son, Leo, just checks him every single time, just takes him down.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, he's probably one of the only people who will be able to do that, maybe bring him back to reality almost, kind of. Do you know what I'm saying?
I feel you. I mean, he needs to be checked.
He does.
He just said to his son, you could be my assistant at my home.
Mm. Like, I know.
You're trying to make amends to me.
Right.
And you're offering me, like, basically a job for me to stay in your cottage, but I have to help basically run the whole place.
Yeah, basically, I'm going to be there to maintain and clean and do all the things that you don't want to do in this home where your fiance was murdered, which is like...
Girlfriend. I don't think fiance just yet, right?
I don't know. I thought he did propose, actually, at the end of the last season, but okay. needless to say, you know, she was murdered regardless. Yeah. So the son shuts him down. Mm-hmm. And I think what's so interesting with these scenes with Barry is that Sally tells Barry that you need someone to talk through your stuff with. And that seems to really touch him because he, like, has no one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no one who can really, truly be himself.
Except for Fuchs.
Right.
I think he's playing him, though.
Yeah, but I do also think that Fuchs genuinely does care about Barry.
I agree with you on that, but I...
He'll use him.
That scene that Barry was opening up and went to hug him, I don't know, my first thought was he wanted to feel if there was anything here.
Yeah.
So his hug was to get closer to him.
Right. So before we get to that scene with Fuchs and Barry, we have a scene with Fuchs and Detective Loach, which we have a picture of right here. And this is Fuchs getting wired.
He's in a store.
You know, he's like hilarious. I mean, both of these characters are so, so funny to me. Fuchs is like kind of goofy in his own way. Mm-hmm. And they're in a quinceañera store.
I didn't even know those existed.
Quinceañera.
Quinceañera.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it, but I did know. You know, I am familiar with them because mm-hmm. they're a big thing in LA. And so he has bought one for his wife. So he's miking up Fuchs. And Fuchs is like, oh, I have his mind. I can turn him. And at this point, Fuchs definitely seems gung-ho about getting Barry to confess.
Yeah, he does. But at the same time, I also think Detective Loach is at his wit's end and is like, I don't know if this is going to work out. He threatens him with jail again. But it's interesting. It's interesting to think, is Fuchs actually going to succeed in bringing anything out of Barry? You know what I mean?
No. Exactly. That is the question. So Barry is covering for his co-worker, Sarah, I believe, at Lululemon, okay? And which, on a side note, in the very beginning of the episode, I love that Esther's gang knew that he was wearing Lululemon.
Yeah, Esther literally
That's when you know you're in Los Angeles because everyone knows the value
of a Lululemon tracksuit,
exactly. So even the Burmese monastery gangsters knew Lululemon brand.
Yep.
So Fuchs comes in, and they do really have this moment that appears to be authentic, where Barry is like, I really did miss you, man. And, you know, and Fuchs brings him in for the hug. And then that's what we have a picture of right there, mm-hmm. of Fuchs and Barry hugging.
I know.
What a touching moment.
It was. Yeah. It was touching.
But Barry's playing him.
I think they're playing each other.
He's definitely trying to.
They know each other so well. Honestly, they do. And
maybe they're speaking in code.
Well, what I thought too is this: is I really felt that because Barry was really upset and Fuchs was like, "I don't want to talk about it," and so I genuinely felt like since Fuchs knew that he was mic'd, that he was getting Barry away from whatever, you know, they were kind of talking. He's like, "Oh, that's in the past. Let's not talk about it," and we've gotten rid of that. Let's leave it alone. And then I think when Barry was like, "I really missed you," I thought Fuchs brought him in for the hug to muffle the mic. To be honest,
interesting.
You know, I mean, I do feel like Fuchs absolutely will betray Barry without a doubt, but I think at that moment he wasn't quite ready.
I see.
I think he wants to betray him on his own terms when it's convenient for him, I think.
Or I think at that point, I think he was sort of touched by it. He did miss Barry a little bit, and Barry had really been hardcore with shutting him out up until this point. So I do feel like there was some of that kind of going on, and he was like, all right, well, maybe I'm not quite ready. So they have that sort of intimate moment, and Barry gets an opportunity finally to talk to someone who truly knows who he is and accepts him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we go back and we kind of end it with the acting class, and they're all doing their different scene work. And Barry, after talking to Fuchs, decides to improvise Braveheart, which is like totally hilarious and hysterical. And what I loved so much about this scene is we're in a flashback, and then the actors start talking like, no, this is Braveheart. And then the actors, I thought I heard that before. And it was so, like, it brought you out of, obviously, the flashback, but in such a funny and great way that I loved it. How did you all feel about sort of the Braveheart crossover?
I mean, Cousineau's line, I'm Jewish. What are you doing, Barry? Are you serious right now? Can we just talk about also the the decision to put Cousineau into Barry's recollection of that time, like putting him in the war zone, talking about it while Barry's, you know, still in all the army garb and in the moment. How cool was that to have him break through and be there? And I just think that it's symbolic of how malleable our own memories are, how we want to be perceived, how we want to remember our past.
Yeah, I loved that scene so much because it was so funny. And, like, even the person who he's, like, helping, the guy with the hole in his face, he's like, no, that is Braveheart. It's like, so hysterical. Yeah. So well done.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was really cool. And then there's this scene where Sally... you know, so basically they kibosh the Braveheart and they're like, no, give us something real. And that's what I think is so nice about this show is that even though they show acting sort of in like a corny, you know, it's like a little bit corny type light, they do show the realness that you should bring to acting. And those are the moments that Barry really kills it or Sally really nails it. And I think that's true of actors in general. So that's what I really respect about the show, too. Like, they show you the kind of frou-frou that is Hollywood, but then they show you what happens to be, what it takes to be a real actor, which is to bring the truth. And so, you know, they're like, okay, Barry, none of that fantasy stuff. And so to get Barry to get to his core, they have Barry read with Sally as Sally's abusive ex-husband.
Oh, my gosh.
That scene was so hard to watch kind of very, like, touching on two levels. Because Barry was so fearful of showing his dark side to the class and to Sally in particular.
And what did you guys think? Nuances of Bill Hader's acting performance in that scene, the decision to go up on close on him and to watch his like mouth twitch and just to see the pain.
It's beautifully shot.
Oh gosh. Yep. And I could tell he was at a breaking point. And I was like, either he's gonna snap and like really be violent towards Sally and actually choke her like she was asking him to do, or he's gonna, I don't know. I had no idea what he was gonna do in that moment. And the decision to have him just walk out hands up, like, I can't do this, was perfect.
Poor Barry, right?
Yeah.
This poor guy, he's trying to change himself.
Right.
He's trying to leave the past in the past. And people keep effing with him.
Yep.
Like, he's just like, no, I don't want to choke you. Like, stop it. Or like, no, I don't want to relive my past of me knowing who I was. I'm trying to change. I'm trying to not kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And this poor guy, he can't, no matter who he goes to. Her, anybody in the show, always is trying to evoke.
Well, he's putting himself in these situations. This acting class is making him really delve deep and figure out why he is the way he is, what he feels. And I mean, that's the whole point of it.
And what's so great, I think, about season two, or about this season, is that each episode we're seeing more and more of Barry starting to have feelings. Every episode, he's feeling more, and it's getting deeper, and it's obviously going to affect what he does for a living. Mm. So what's interesting is, they're pushing him. They're pushing him to break. So Sally physically is pushing him out the door, pushing him to get him to choke her. He refuses to do so. He storms out. And when she runs out to say she's sorry and to apologize or whatever, and as they're talking, her ex-husband, Sam, walks up. Wow, that was like an explosion in that scene. And at that point, she's like, hi, Sam. And then Barry turned to look at Sam.
Look at that look.
That's what I want to see, Barry.
The look of a murderer. Seriously.
That is what they had been pushing Tim for night. And it just took the mention of Sam to bring it out.
Yeah.
And that was like the greatest way to close the episode.
I loved it.
I agree. But also, in hindsight, thinking about it, I understand that they only have a certain amount of episodes. They only have a certain amount of time, 30 minutes per episode. But I was like, really? Sam is just going to conveniently show up at, you know, her, you know, acting class? Like, did she call him?
How does he know that?
Wait, I assumed without a doubt that the girl that she FaceTimed with went back and told people. That's absolutely what I thought. Once she went back and she started FaceTiming that girl, and I was like, wow, her friend really don't have her back, because she went to that girl and that girl was like, oh, he choked you or whatever, and I helped you escape. But I believe with my heart that girl told them.
Yeah, because her friend...
Oh, go ahead.
Her friend, as she was explaining, here's what I said, here's what happened. She was like, no,
he was asleep. We just packed your stuff and left.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about her friend. I assumed when he showed up that it was due to her friend.
I don't know if her friend was like, hey, guess what me and Sally were talking about.
Like that. She might not have told Sam particular, but especially depending on what size of a town they're from, she probably gossiped.
It was just...
Because to me, I felt like she probably told Sam, Sally was asking me about you.
Yeah.
Or she told somebody and then got back to him.
Yeah. It's just my opinion on it is it was eerily convenient. And yes, it was a cool, shocking way to end the episode. I want to know why he's there. I know why he's there, so that Barry could potentially kill him, but...
But why did he come?
Why? Exactly.
Why did he go to the class?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, you guys. So that was, the end of episode 3.
Maybe his ears were tingling.
I know, right?
He had spidey senses.
I knew they were talking about me. All right, you guys. So our first special segment of the evening is going to be, we're going to do the ha-ha moment first. Mm-hmm. So tell me your funniest moment of the episode.
I have a few. I have a few?
Yeah, go ahead.
Obviously that line about suck balls mountain, but when we didn't get to talk about when Barry is teaching the Czechians how to fight.
Yes. That's true.
One of the best parts of the episode, and you see them all being bumbling idiots, of course, and NoHo Hank tells him that Barry's being modest. He's like, oh, tell him that you're the greatest killer of all time. And Barry's like, I'm not the greatest assassin of all time. And he goes, nah, he's a regular Annie Oakley. I thought that was hilarious. And in the acting class, remember when Cousineau basically shuts down that other guy from acting with Sally and says, no, Barry, you're going to be Sally's ex. And that actor is all dressed up like, a jerk with his, wife beater tank top. And he's like, I can't play straight. I played straight for 22 years. Phenomenal. But go ahead.
Mine was NoHo and his crew is getting kicked out of the spot and now has to live in this crate for God only knows how long.
Yes. And I think mine was the king of the mountain quote. I think that was my funniest moment. And I will say this, when Barry was training the Chechens, there was a moment there that I really liked when they were all clearly bumbling and horrible, but there was one Chechen that was a good shooter.
Yep.
And at that moment, it was almost like Barry had sort of a bonding with him. And the question is going to be, is Barry going to lead him to the dark side to be a great killer like he is? Or is he going to befriend him and be like, look, you don't have to do this anymore. And that was, they were like, oh, he's the Annie Oakley. Yeah. So they were really praising him. And just like Barry, that guy felt a sense of community because at first it seemed like he couldn't work the gun at first. Mm-hmm. So it was that scene actually was really, really interesting. So our next special segment is in honor of Cristobal this season. Every episode, we're going to highlight our favorite drug lords. So take it away, Ricky.
My favorite drug lord, his name is Joaquin Aquivaldo Guzman Loera. He was raised in a poor farming family and endured physical abuse at the hands of his father. Through his father, Guzman entered the drug trade, helping him grow marijuana for local dealers during his early adulthood. By the late 1970s, Guzman began working with Hector Luis Palma Salazar. That's a lot of names.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
Hector Luis Palma Salazar.
Okay, but not today.
Hector was one of the nation's rising drug lords, whom he helped map routes to move drugs through Sinaloa and into the United States. Guzman later supervised logistics from Miguel Angel Felix Gallardo, one of the nation's leading kingpins in the mid-1980s, but founded his own cartel in 1988 after Gallardo's arrest.
That's what you like. Someone who likes to do their own thing and be their own businessman. We love that. So, next we will have our news and gossip. That's what we do. We improvise here sometimes as well. All right, you guys. So, what I found out, which is exciting for true, true Barry fans, Barry has been renewed for season 3.
Woo!
So, you know, I know Noho and Barry are coming back, but who knows who else will be back, and hopefully we'll be back too. But yeah, season 3 has been green lighted and it's a go, people. So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys, before we get out of here, before we wrap it up, we're going to do our predictions.
Predictions. Well, I think kind of going back to that kid, that checking kid that is really good at killing, I see Barry kind of taking him under his wing and perhaps veering him in another direction, but I think he's honestly going to play a big part in what happens. I think he's going to wind up being a pretty big killer. Like, almost kind of like Breaking Bad. I don't know if you guys watched that show.
Course.
But, like,
yeah,
near the end where that kid becomes more of a killer than most of the other characters.
You just ruined it for me. I'm not done with it yet.
Get out of here
with that. Winter's here, just in case you didn't know that.
Winter's here.
I think one thing that we were talking about is how much we want to see Barry at his prime, like, be the killer that, you know, we know he is. And I think with Sam coming back in the picture, it's possible that he might kill Sam. I don't know. I think that's going to happen, though.
Okay. I'm going to make it very, very quick. I honestly think that in the next episode, we think that Barry is about to snap on Sam, and I think he's not going to show his true self yet.
Okay, I do think Barry is going to snap on Sam. And I also feel like the new Chechen killer is going to bring out the pride in Barry, and he's going to actually teach him to be an amazing killer as well. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an amazing episode. So catch us here next week, same time, same station. I'm Erica Edwards. You can follow me on all of my social media at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, D as in door, Edwards.
I'm Alexa Cappiello, and you can follow me on Instagram at Alexa Cappy.
And I am the Italian stallion Ricky Vitucci, and you can find me at Ricky Vitucci on all Instagram, on all social media handles.
All right, you guys, buzz you later.
Ciao.
For
our founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first; we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.